Hello, I'm Mark Steiner, and as I said very early in this program, and as we began our first hour, that this is the anniversary of the Japanese surrendering to the Allied forces on August 15th, 1945. Week preceding that, August 6th, 1945, an American B-29 bomber dropped the world's first atomic bomb on the city of Hiroshima, killing 80,000 people instantly. Tens of thousands of people more died of radiation. 3 days later, another B-29 dropped a bomb on Nagasaki, a much more contained city in terms of its location. 40,000 people died instantly. Changed the course, some people, of the war, but it changed the course of our civilization. Ellen O'Hara Slavik is a professor of visual art, theory, and practice at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, author of the book Bomb After Bomb, a Violent Cartography, and most recently After Hiroshima. Her work has reflected on this, and she joins us here to reflect on that moment through her art and what it means for all of us. And Ellen, welcome. Good to have you with us at last.
Thanks. I know. It's been a crazy time to get me on.
So, Ellen, talk a bit about why, you know, for many people, given that this was a long time ago, that this was 68 years ago, that it's not in people's consciousness like it was.
Yeah, well, that's one reason why I definitely wanted to do a, you know, a sustained project about it. But it's also because, as a Habaksha said in Hiroshima, and a Habaksha is somebody who has survived the A-bomb, she said, you know, Hiroshima and Nagasaki is not about the past, it's about today. There's 30,000 nuclear weapons in the world today. And that's as a result of the dropping of those bombs. You know, all the research that went into those bombs is continuing today with our weapons. So I think it is a topical, relevant issue today. But also, I think it's very important for an American citizen to address Hiroshima and Nagasaki. As I'm sure you know, in the late 1990s, the Smithsonian canceled their exhibition where they were going to show.
Tell that story for just a moment, because I think most people do not remember that story.
Okay, well, the Smithsonian, the curator, was going to show the actual photographic documentation of the horrific, horrific results of the atomic bombings, which most Americans still have not been exposed to or seen. You know, when you're in Japan, especially Hiroshima, you see them everywhere in memorials and plaques all over the city. And they ended up censoring that show. They were commanded by somebody in the government. I don't know all the details, but they couldn't show those pictures, so they showed just the Enola Gay, the plane that dropped the bomb, which is significant, but does, you know, in a way, it's like victorious and heroic and monumental to show that. It doesn't show the other side at all. And so I don't think most Americans have been exposed to what really happened. And my work definitely doesn't expose them to that either. I don't show horrific images. In fact, the work is quite beautiful. And that's an ongoing sort of dilemma that I deal with as an artist. But I think that beauty is one way to get people to look at horrific things in a fresh way or in a new way, or to bring the past into the present, which we all need to do so we don't repeat it.
You journeyed to Japan, right?
Yes, I lived there for 3 months when I started this project, and then I went back in 2011 where I exhibited the work and I did more work, and I'm actually going back in October with the book to give lectures and book signings, and I hope to make some more work again, yes.
Well, as an artist and someone who kind of felt that city and saw where they left part of that city, Hiroshima was left to kind of as a memorial. A destroyed section was set aside so the remainders of the atomic bomb, what happened after the atomic bomb was dropped, could be seen by all forever.
Mm-hmm.
What happened to you viscerally? I mean, I have no idea how old you are, how young you are, but I do know that if you're of a certain age and grew up in that time, you grew up with a fear of atomic war.
Right. Well, I'm 47 years old, and I grew up with very activist parents, and they took me to the Hiroshima Day memorials every year in the public square of Portland, Maine, where I grew up. It's called Monument Square. And I remember, as a teenager, trying to read a young girl's account of her surviving the atomic bomb and losing her whole family. And I could barely read it. You know, I was choked up. So Hiroshima's been in my consciousness my whole life, and it's been a very significant event, of course, globally and historically. My husband is an epidemiologist, and he studies the effects of radiation on nuclear workers in facilities all over the world, from Chernobyl to, you know, Fukushima, Hiroshima. So his work is what brought us there. And when I got there, I initially just struck flying into the city that it was so lush and green, because it was hard to believe that after an atomic bomb was dropped, that things could actually come back to life and grow back, and that it was a thriving city So I was somewhat stunned. And then when we started to live there, I was struck by just the memorials and the plaques and the historical information and museums. You know, there's a Peace Park, which is at the center of the city. And as you said, the dome they left as a monument to what happened. And it, you know, it was bombed severely. The beams at the top are still exposed. And there's a Hall of Remembrance and the Peace Museum. And there's parts of schools that were bombed and destroyed that they left the parts that survived and then built new schools around them. So the past is really an active part of living in the city. And I couldn't ignore it. And I was struck. I remember asking people who grew up there, like, well, do you think about the A-bomb all the time? And of course they don't. You know, they're living their lives. And so it's a strange feeling. And I also felt guilty and sad. And I mean, I probably cried every day. I mean, I hate to sound melodramatic, but it was pretty intense, especially since I was focused on my work, which was trying to capture the trauma and what happened there visually. So I was really focused on the trauma and, you know, I think the criminal act of dropping the bomb. So it was pretty emotionally intense for me. Plus, I had my two children with me, and they were like 3 and 5 at the time. They were going to the International Y every day, so they weren't with me when I did my work. But it was pretty intense to explain things to them and think of them just being incinerated instantly from a bomb being dropped. You know, when you walk around that city, you can imagine everything that disappeared in an instant.
I mean, and civilians just gone.
Yeah, civilians. I mean, 100,000 people died instantly, and another 100,000 died by the end of the first year, by the end of 1945, from radiation illness. And people still die every year.
So, you know, as we reflect on things like the Holocaust, as we finally close with this because we have to move on, but when we reflect on things like the Holocaust, reflect on things like the horrendous world of slavery and segregation and and the killing of African Americans in this country and all that, that we do not reflect on these 200,000. We do not reflect on what the power of the devastation of nuclear war can mean for us.
We don't, and we should, because it's still a problem, and the weapons are still out there, and, you know, I don't see them going away anytime soon. And, you know, radiation is, I mean, just testing it. The people who live out in the United States and the Southwest have increased levels of cancer from being exposed to the downwinds of all the testing plants. And, you know, we've dropped nuclear bomb tests all over the place, from the Bikini Atoll and, you know, all these places. People are affected by this in more ways than just at the hypocenters, you know, of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, but certainly there. I mean, that was where it was the most intense. And I don't think the American government or the American people have really come to terms with what that meant.
Well, I think we have not. And what I'd like to do is I know we had a hard time getting this on. I appreciate you coming on, Ellen O'Hara Slavik, and the work you've done. We're going to link to your work on our website. And then I hope sometime in the next couple of months when you return from Japan that we can bring you on with some people from that era and people who are reflecting on nuclear power and war to just spend a longer time so we can talk with all our people about what this means.
That would be wonderful. Thank you so much, Mark.
I appreciate you being patient with us and coming on today.
Oh, it was wonderful. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Ellen O'Hara. Bye-bye. Ellen O'Hara Slavik. We'll be back and connect to her work on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. We're going to look at the world of hacking. It's a huge conversation. Stay with us.